time is filled with swift transition. Naught on earth unmoved can stand. Is that the way we find life sometimes? Many times, right? Many times. Song goes on to say, build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. This morning we want to talk about holding on to God's unchanging hand. You know, it's the only secure place we can be this morning. The song we sang talked about the sunshine and the shadows of life. But our commitment in that song was that we're going to sing through the shade or the sunshine. It says that's what we're doing. And I just about had to stop singing for a bit because how serious am I and all that. It's easy to sing when the sun shines. Yesterday was an absolutely beautiful day. We were working outside, really enjoyed that. And if I just thought about the beauty of the day and the strength and health to work, it's not hard to sing. Even though there's some shadows, it seems. But why shadows? Why would they have to be? But you know, even though life is filled with these changes in life, and nothing on earth stands still, it changes, right? I mean, the fact that we're getting older, and the fact is that we see a lot of changes around us, and these things don't have to unsettle us. We talked about faith in Sunday school. And this morning, holding to God's unchanging hand, and so I greet you this morning in that name of the precious Lord, Jesus Christ, the God that doesn't change. You know, there's something precious about the thought of holding. You know, there's something pretty precious to hold on to my grandson's hand or granddaughter, you know, walking along. There's something special about holding on to my wife's hand as we're walking along. But it indicates something. It indicates that we are close together. Okay? And so think about holding onto God's hand. You have to be close to Him in order to hold onto His hand. Even though there's shade and seemingly dark times, but you know what? God's hand doesn't change. So think about that. We can hold onto His hand. It's unchanging. It's not like life. It doesn't change. God doesn't get older. He doesn't change. He doesn't change His mind. We'll look at some more scripture on that. You know, God told Moses, when Moses was up there in the on the mountain, and he sees this tree burning that's not being burnt up, I should say in flames that's not being burnt up, Moses said, God, who do I tell the Israelites that sent me? Well, things might change here in a bit too. But he says, God says, look, I am who I am. He says, I am. It indicates a God of eternity. Turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Says this way, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with thee, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Let me just jump down to verse 13. Thinking about God, at verse 10 is actually what I wanted, and then jump down to verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. It doesn't say that circumstances are going to be just right. It doesn't say how life is going to be. It doesn't say that life isn't going to change, because life is all about change. That's what happens in life. It's nothing new to us. It does. But he says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will strengthen thee. Verse 13, I will hold thee, hold thy right hand. Fear not, I will help thee. You know, those are such comforting thoughts as we think about changes in life, as we think about life, as we think about the dark times or shadows of life. It's very, very precious to be able to know that God is going to hold our right hand. And he says, fear not. Fear not. You know, like those little boys that might be afraid of darkness and they can't really even see daddy, but you know, they can reach up and they know it's there. They feel it. They're all okay. I mean, after all, daddy can do anything, right? To a 3-4-year-old, daddy can conquer anything. I mean, we can meet the worst lions on the backyard when it's dark because they're probably out there, but daddy's with us and he's going to help us. It depends what the rustling may be in the woods, you know. And that's got to be something pretty bad and terrible. But, you know, you feel that little hand squeezing a little harder. And God says he's going to do that to us. Fear not, I will help thee. Do we have that confidence? Do we have that? You know, that's what faith is all about. We can't literally hold on to God's hand, but that's where faith comes in. That's faith. That's what we're talking about this morning. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, he says this testimony, he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, I know whom I have believed, that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And that's also faith, because he couldn't see that. He couldn't see that, but he was holding on because he said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Is that us this morning? Are we holding on to God's unchanging hand? You know, Malachi 3, verse 6, James 1, 17, both indicate, Malachi says, for I am the Lord, I change not. James 1, 17 says that God doesn't fluctuate at all, nothing. Between light and darkness, kind of like it was doing here a moment ago, there's no fluctuation between light and darkness. Someday it makes sense with God. Someday, you know, we can't quite know if it's going to be able to trust him. He doesn't fluctuate at all. There's no change. I change not. This world changes. This world changes. But God says, I change not. You know, we may say that, well, my world is turned upside down. You know, things just aren't the way I wish they were. It just seems like things are upside down for me. And you know, it may be right that they are. But let me tell you something. God didn't turn upside down. Okay? He didn't change at all. Okay? You know, it's probably the circumstances we find ourselves in. And our circumstances are kind of turned upside down. But, you know, the beautiful thing is we don't have to hold on to circumstances, right? We're holding on to God's unchanging hand. And we can do that in the midst of our turned upside down circumstances of life. We can hold on to God's hand, because if we do that and God doesn't change, he doesn't turn upside down with circumstances, we can stay upright as we're holding on to his hand in the midst of upside down circumstances. Well, maybe they're not upside down. Maybe it's just kind of different. Maybe that feel like out of control, those circumstances that we face. Well, they probably are, okay? And praise God, they are out of our control, okay? Because many times, because that's where faith comes in again. Do we have faith as we hold on to God's hand? Unchanging hand. Let's just keep that in mind. It's not a hand that changes along with circumstances. And I praise God it doesn't. Okay? It's unchanging. It's unchanging. And so just an easy formula. Not easy to follow out, but the easy formula is if you want to stay upright in the midst of an upside down world and upside down circumstances, hold on to God's hand. Hold on to God's hand. Look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 in verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. My, these verses sound very similar to two chapters ago. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Notice the list of circumstances here, right? Circumstances of life. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why is that? Why can we have that confidence? He says, for I am the Lord, thy God, the Holy One of Israel. And sometimes life feels that way, right? These upside down circumstances, these deep waters, these fires that we face in life. We wonder about these things, but let's not focus on them. Let's not worry about them as much. Let's not fear them. And like Peter, he saw the waves and he cried out to the Lord. He started to sink. He says, fear not. And the thing that I struggle with, and I want to emphasize again this morning, when God says, fear not, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. It's something that is absolutely, it's definite. It's there. It's something we can hold on to. It's something that never changes. It's there. Fear not. Yeah, but, you know, no, fear not. God's hand doesn't change because he says, I am. Okay? He's an eternal being. He's an eternal being. And God's not controlled by circumstances. Okay? God is not controlled by circumstances. He doesn't fluctuate with that. Oh, life does. Okay? Circumstances change all the time. But God says, I am. So how do we literally hold on to God's hand? Let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We already heard these verses this morning one time, but let's look at them again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Very same verses we heard before. But Paul tells Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know, we have learned the Holy Scriptures, like he says in the next verse, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, he says, you know, we have learned these things. He says, I've been assured of. And when the sun is shining, we're actually assured of these things. A lot of these things make sense. You know, that God's there, he's holding my hand. Because the sun's shining, it's going well. But we need to continue in these things that we have learned and been assured of. These holy scriptures. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's all there. The holy scriptures. God's word that he has given us. God's word that he has given us. We can hold on to that. And we can continue to claim God's promises. In a moment, we want to look at some of those promises. But that is something that we can hold on to. That's the way God ministers to us today. And one of the ways that God ministers to us today is through the Holy Word. And we can be assured of these things, that this is being God's Word. And, you know, like Paul, again, in Acts 27, he was in the midst of a shipwreck. And the winds were tremendous and strong, and all hope that they should be saved was taken from them. But then Paul's testimony in the midst of all that, in Acts 27, verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. But and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. What? Be of good cheer in the midst of a shipwreck, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of all this, in the midst of knowing that we should have listened. He says, I want you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given them all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul was holding on to that. He was depending upon that. In the midst of all those and the changes of life that was bringing to him, Paul was not heading for vacation, okay? He was heading for trial. That's what Paul was heading for. But he was okay with that. He was okay with it. He was okay with those circumstances. Now they get into a shipwreck, and he didn't even accuse these men harshly. He just reminded them that it probably would have been wise if you would have listened to me. But you didn't, okay? And so here we are. But be of good cheer. This is going to be okay because God is with me. He told me this. He says, whose I am and whom I serve. Is that our testimony? Is that what we're holding on to? You know, God's word has these promises I mentioned before. There's a lot of promises that we can hold on to. Exceeding great and precious promises, Peter tells us. And then they're there for us. But now, so we're talking about God's word and his promises. Now, think for a moment that there's a lot of people that tell us that God's word has changed over the years. Okay? I mean, things are just not the way they used to be in God's word. They actually sort of mean something different now. For an example, let me give you a couple of examples. One is that parenting laws have changed. That it's not exactly what it used to be, okay? And so parenting laws have changed, people say. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a few things that have probably changed. Maybe not in God's word, no. But the way people do things and the results are the same. But parenting laws are still, what God has given hasn't changed. You know what? And it still works. Okay? It still works. But, you know, another thing that people say, what it means or what it takes to be saved has changed some. You know, it's not what it used to be. Or how we relate to authority. Oh my, somehow the world forgot about this one. You know, but even religious people claim that how we relate to authority has changed, really. Divorce and remarriage. We interpret it just differently now. You know, God's word still stays the same. You know, another thing is immorality. It's now called weakness or maybe failures at best, okay? Because it's really, you know, not what it used to be. Well, this world is not what it used to be, that's right. But these things have not changed. These things have not changed. But as people say these things have changed, the list could go on. But you know what the interesting thing is? God's promises. They still hold on to God's promises. Somehow God's promises haven't changed. And so they hold on to that, and they say all these other things have changed. Why? Because it suits me better. It feels better for me. And it's not as, oh, this and that, we just can't be hard. You know, really, to spank a child? I mean, literally spank a child? That's gonna ruin its will and its nature and its whole being. It's just going to ruin that child. Well, God forbid it does. I mean, the way the world has changed this to actually ruins him, okay? We've all testified to that. We've seen that. But no, you know what? God's word still stands. That's just one example. But, you know, so they change all these things, but his promises they want to hold on to. That, in their mind, hasn't changed. Let me tell you something. God's word hasn't changed, okay? We know that this morning. It's just a reminder for all of us. God's word hasn't changed, nor has his promises changed. And they are still there. 2 Corinthians 1. Let's look at a few of God's promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 18 to 20, "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Oh, that's precious, okay? God's promises are not changing. It's not fluctuating between light and darkness, like James says, okay? It's not that at all. It is yea and amen. So be it. That's the way it is. That's what God's promises are. God's word is that. God's word is that. Romans chapter 4, we have the example of Abraham accepting a promise of God. Romans chapter 4, not sure what I said, but Romans chapter 4, 19 to 21, here it talks about Abraham and being not weak in faith. He's not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and was fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Consider those circumstances. We talked about circumstances before. Consider the circumstances here. We have Abraham, about 100 years old, and Sarah was not far behind that. And so the circumstances did not make in the least bit sense that there was going to be a baby born to them. I mean, this is kind of ridiculous, right? No, it wasn't to them. He was not weak in faith. He didn't stagger at God's promises. God had promised him a son. It says he did stagger not. He kind of stumbled there a little bit, didn't he, though? But I'm not minimizing anything that says here, though. God had promised him a son, and Abraham fully believed it. I guess the fact on how that was going to come to be is where he stumbled and fell and got back up again. But he claimed God's promises. So the circumstances, we see this as an example of circumstances that were dark. It didn't make sense. I mean, I've lived for all these years, and God's promise still isn't fulfilled. No, God had said it. That's just going to settle it. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And let me assure you this morning, he can do that for you. He can do that for you. He can do that for you. But circumstances, no, they don't always make sense to us. But God can make sense. God can, in other words, we can have full trust and confidence. We can hold on to his hand. Hold on to his hand. 2 Peter 1, I'm going to refer to these verses before. 2 Peter 1, in verse 3, talks about these great and precious promises. Verse 3 and 4, according as his divine power. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Let me just point something out to you. Earlier, I had read some verses that talked about the knowledge of God. And you know, how much knowledge do we have of God? How much knowledge do we have of his word? You know, if we want this knowledge, we have to dig it out. It's there. The promises are there. God's word is there. The assurance is there. All that is available to us. But it talks about through the knowledge of God. We're digging it out. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Exceeding great and precious promises. They're there. We can claim them. We can claim him in the direction from his word. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. And these precious promises are not just promises for our good. It's promises for our direction, for our, well, like we were reading there before about the all scripture is given by inspiration of God in Timothy there. It's there for us. It's not just promises how God's going to bless us and multiply things and do everything for our favor. No, it's going to be there for our correction, for our instruction in righteousness. These are God's promises as well. And that promise from Jesus, Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a precious promise. These are things that we can hold on to. Are there more promises? There's a lot more promises. But you know what? I'm gonna give you the challenge. You study them and find them out. They're there. You can think of many more I haven't listed, and there's way more there. But these are exceeding great and precious promises that can bring us to the point of being a divine, having partaker of the divine nature. The divine nature. And it's by a lot of these things that we can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And it's out there. We see that. It's out there. But following God, holding on to His hand, claiming His promises of redemption and forgiveness and comfort and grace and help and power and all those kind of things help us escape the corruption that is in the world. We can hold on to them. So you find more promises and dig them out for yourself and hold on to God and His Word. There's a lot of promises for the child of God. But you know what? There's also promises given for those that aren't His children yet. Right? For those that have maybe strayed or have never surrendered their hearts to the Lord. There's promises for that as well. There's promises that God will forgive for those that come to Him. There's promises of acceptance. Look at that precious one in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 of His acceptance. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Here's direction. This is God gives direction for the lost, for those that are fallen into sin and or walked into sin, I should say. And He says, separate yourselves unto me, and saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean. And the promise is, I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. These are promises of acceptance if we confess and we bring our life before Him. God has promises for those that aren't His children yet. What a beautiful thing as well that these are there. And so as we think about holding on to God's hand as we walk through this changing world, a thought that I heard somewhere is that we should ask God to lead us instead of just going with us. Think about that. Asking God to lead us. Not just, you know, just come with us as we go. No, lead the way. Hold on to His hand. And then the question is, are we okay with where God may lead us? Are we okay with that? Paul was. He says, I've committed my day unto Him. I know who it is. I'm fully persuaded. It's okay. I don't know what all I'm going to face. But I'm persuaded, and I'm going to be there. You know, the fact is we like to be close to God, but yet control our own circumstances, okay? And so that doesn't work. We need to let go and let God take over and not ourselves control our circumstances. Now, there's things that we need to make the right choices. There's things we need to make the right decisions. I'm not talking about a haphazard life and just saying, well, God's just going to somehow work it out. I'm just going to, you know, live my life. And I'm just going to go with the flow and let God work it out. I'm just going to hold on to Him. Well, no. No, we need to be close to God and follow Him. Again, back to holding on to the Word and following that closely. Following that closely. So the promises of God that we can hold on to are they only to get us through this life? No, not only through this life. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's promised us that and how we can live a godly life. It's all there. It is possible. It is possible. It's like somebody told me one time that was in the depths of sin. You probably heard me use that example before. But they said, there's no way possible I could come back to God. I said, well, if that's not possible, I said, then God isn't God. Okay, well, maybe I just don't want to. And I said, well, I think that's probably more where it is. Okay, let's be honest with it. And so God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, 2 Peter tells us. You know, Hebrews 11, let's just look at a few verses there of example of Moses. Example of Moses. Hebrews 11:24-26, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That reminds us of Ruth, doesn't it, in the story today. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. So here in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. Why would Moses do such a thing? What possessed him? He had the wealth of Egypt to his disposal. He was might have been the next one to the throne. I don't know what all can have happened there, but he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, right? But he said, no, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, I'm choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God. Why was that? And then esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. You know, circumstances, I mean, do they make sense? Well, here's why. We see that in verse 26. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That's kind of some heavy language there, isn't it? What does that mean? Because he looked ahead. He saw what was coming. He said the rewards of serving Christ is far greater. And the eternal rewards is far greater than just the wealth of Egypt. And I could be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, grandson to the king. Look at this. He said, it's better for me to be reproached for the name of Christ. Well, he didn't use those words because it was Old Testament. But for us in our language today, New Testament language, he would have said, you know, it's better for me to take the reproach of Christ because the rewards, the eternal rewards and the rewards of serving Christ and holding on to his hand are so much better, so much more fulfilling. It may be rough here on this life, but I got something to hold on to. Got something to hold on to. Revelation 21 gives us more promises that we can hold on to. Revelation 21. This is beyond this life now. Revelation 21 and verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is talking about being in God's physical presence. There it is, being in this new Jerusalem that he's talked about in verse 2. You know, it's a tabernacle of God is with men. They're going to be there. This is something that Moses somehow saw through faith. Okay, that's what Hebrews 11 keeps talking about. The people that looked ahead, they saw this. My friends, this morning, are you seeing this? Are you seeing those promises that God has for his faithful people that are holding on to his hand? It's okay if this world changes all the time. And it's going to. You're never going to stop that anyway. So how are we going to relate to that? Are we going to hold on to God's unchanging hand? Are we going to stay upright in this world? Are we going to stay true and faithful in this world? Are we going to claim God's promises? Here he says that, he said, he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is talking about being in God's physical presence. Is there something you would rather do this morning than to be in God's physical presence someday? Is there something that you would rather choose? I know what your answer would be. You'd say absolutely not. But friends, we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful. We need to hold on to God's word and truth of God's word. and walk faithfully and holy before him in righteousness. In righteousness, we need to hold on to that, because God's promises for his children are for his children. Okay? God's promises to the faithful are for his children. Those that are obedient and walking with him. You know, John 17, verse 24, the high priestly prayer of Jesus there in John 17, beautiful, beautiful passage, but tells us that Jesus wants us in his presence. He says, Father, I would that these would be able to be there where you and I are. That's what God wants of his people. He doesn't say, Jesus, you're making these your children, and so that means these are, you know, my brothers and sisters, and I don't know, God, these are people, they're a mess. I mean, they're not as holy as I am. But you know what? Jesus says he's not ashamed to be called our brother if we're a true child of God. No, he's not. He's not at all. And Jesus wants us in his presence. Oh, I'll leave that reading to you. But John 17 tells us that, gives us that beautiful picture. You know, and we're still in Revelation 21 in verse 4. Another promise here. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a precious promise that God will wipe all tears from our eyes and all things that cause pain, okay, that cause these tears in life. He's going to wipe those tears and everything that causes tears. We're going to be in his presence. Are we holding on to that unchanging hand? Because he said all former things are passed away. That's why he's going to do this. This is going to be so different. And friends, this morning, I can't describe this to you. I really can't, because I haven't been there yet. Okay? I haven't been there yet, but these are God's promises to us. Are we holding on? Because this is what we can see. This is the reward. And do we have respect unto the recompense of the reward? Are we willing to be faithful in all things? In all things. And hold on to his hand. Job says this in Job 3:17. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. I see two things. Okay, two things in that verse. It says the wicked cease from troubling. You know, this world is troubled. There's a lot of wicked people. There's a lot of evil, and we face this all the time. The pressures of evil, pressures of temptations, and the evil around us that I hope vexes our righteous soul, and these things are there, and it's troubling. Okay, it's troubling. And so you're driving down the highways, and you see these billboards, or even people. You know, and it's troubling. You see the corruption and the lust that's out there, and it's corruption. Let's just call it that. We see that, and it's troubling. It should be troubling to us, righteous people. Okay, it should be troubling to us. But Job reminds us that the wicked cease from troubling. Not only that, but all the pressures of that. And what's hard to imagine is that in the presence of God, in the presence of the Almighty God, there's going to be total absence from all evil, anything wrong, anything negative. And I can't even really describe that to you this morning. I can't, because I haven't been there yet. But absence from all that, it's not going to be there. And also in this verse, he tells us there, the weary be at rest. The weary be at rest. And you know, we do get weary sometimes, even if we're holding on to God's hand. But you know, the changes, the things that are happening, we're human. Jesus got tired. He really did. And he wanted to go rest, and then the multitudes flocked in again. And you know, our physical bodies and our spirits get tired, may I say, weary sometimes. But let's hold on to God's hand. And the day will come where we can be at rest. God, we can be at rest. And then one more verse in verse 7, Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. The condition, overcometh, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What a precious promise. You know, as we continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand, then someday he will lead us to the other side. We can be in his physical presence, and Scripture tells us there's going to be fullness of joy. No, we don't understand that. Fullness of joy. But it's going to be there because it's a promise that God has. God has that for us. What are we facing in this changing world? But in this changing world, God is unchanging. So let's be faithful. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Let's kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you that we can hold on to your hand. It never changes. It never lets us go. It may lead us through some difficult circumstances, but we don't need to fear because you are with us. And Father, this is a lot easier said than done. And we face challenges in dark times at times, and we wonder. But Lord, help us never to wonder if you will be there with us. Circumstances that we have no control over that we face sometimes. And sometimes we get into some self-inflicted circumstances that we have made a mess out of ourselves and our life and circumstances. But Father, as we turn back to you and hold onto your hand and claim your promises of direction and forgiveness and cleansing and your Spirit to lead us, you will lead us through those things, Father, and help us to be faithful. Lord, you know this congregation. You know each one here, what they're facing in life and the challenges of life and the joys of life and the changes of life. I just pray, Father, that you bless each one with courage to look up, to be faithful, to be strong, to repent if needed be, or whatever that it may be, Lord, that you have for them, for me, for each one of us. Lord, that we could be faithful unto the end. We thank you, you've given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, so that we can be faithful in all circumstances. And we thank you, you do not change the circumstances, and we can hold on to you. Help us to be faithful as we face the days ahead. We thank you for being in our midst this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.